This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Hello and welcome to Sounds Choral. I'm your host, James Jordan from Westminster Choir College. This is another program that originated from the Choral Institute at Oxford University, held at St. Stephen's House. This program, now in its seventh year, educates conductors from around the world in matters of choral artistry, using the choir in residence, the Grammy-nominated Westminster Williamson Voices, as the resident ensemble. In today's program, you will hear once again from the renowned Oxford conductor and scholar Edward Higginbottom. Our program today focuses upon the choral music of François Couperin, a particular passion of Professor Higginbottom's. So let's dive right in. Here is the motet, O Domine Quia Refregium, as performed by the soloists of New College, Oxford, conducted by my friend and Oxford colleague, Edward Higginbottom.
Quam iam in terra fas ieris
So here we are. Welcome to Sounds Choral. We're at St. Stephen's House. We moved to another room because of a car alarm, and it's quieter here. And Edward Higginbotham is going to talk about this Couperin recording and share Couperin with our visitors today. So, Edward, welcome. It's always so good to sit down with you. So guide our listeners to Couperin.
Who was François Couperin? Well, you may have encountered his name in association with harpsichord music, because he was most famous for his harpsichord books. He published four of them in the first three decades of the 18th century, and they have remained in the repertory of cubal players since. But he's also a fantastic composer of choral music. And this is what, as a choral conductor, of course, is what caught my attention. He was part of a family of musicians before and after. He was sort of like Bach, you know, there were the grandparents and children and grandchildren who pursued a musical career. But François was the most famous. In fact, he was known as Couperin le Grand, the great Couperin, because he was the one who stood out from the other members of the family. He was very successful as a young musician. In his late teens, he published in an interesting form, to say it was sort of a series of manuscript publications, if you get my meaning, his organ music. And that got him, in 1690, a job as one of the king's organists at the age of 20, or so 21. So he was a rising star. He had a job at Saint-Gervais in Paris, at the church there. That was in the family, so he succeeded his uncle. And he got to be one of the four organists appointed newly by Louis XIV to the Royal Chapel at Versailles. And he did a quarter. I can't remember which quarter it was. But anyway, that took him away 3 months in the year, and the rest of the time he had been in Paris, of course, at Saint-Gervais. And from then onwards, from those early years, he was really one of the figureheads in the French court. And it's music. But these motets that we recorded are quite something else, because, you know, we don't really often hear them. His vocal music is reckoned to be sort of run alongside his harpsichord music. And that's a little unfair, really. He was obviously very active as a writer of choral music in the 1690s. And part of this activity may have been in an interesting way associated with the arrival of the exiled Stuart court in France, and they found a home in Saint-Germain-en-Laye near Versailles, and there's some evidence to point to his connection with that particular group of people and that chapel. They were, of course, ardent Catholics, and that would have fitted in with this Latin church music that he was writing. This music is petit motet, that's a little motets. They're not the big oratorio-like motets that some of his contemporaries like de Lalande were writing for choir and orchestra. These were for small forces and not so long as a grand motet. Some of them just 4 or 5 minutes, others maybe up to 10, 12. The resources needed a few, just a couple of violins, a string bass, something for the keyboard, and of course the voices, 2, 3, or 4, perhaps, or normally 3 if you got the full soprano, haute contra and bass. Those would be the 3 voices. And they show a wonderful command of this idiom. Couperin we think of, don't we, as a quintessentially French composer. You know, if you want to know how French music works, we listen to Couperin. But he, in fact, was very interested in Italian music, and all his life long said, my mission is to join the Italian and the French styles. And he wanted what he called les goûts réunis, these united tastes. And these motets show you quite a lot of Italian trays as well as French trays. But they are undoubtedly, in their rather syllabic setting and rather discreet vocal ranges, are distinctly French in that regard. 3 of these motets, actually on this recording, have never been recorded before nor performed because they're incomplete. And this was part of the project. The sources for these 3 motets and some others landed up in England, in Tenbury, at a library started by Ouseley, who was the founder of the choir school at Tenbury. And the interesting thing about this, the arrival of the manuscripts there, is that along the way, when they were sold to Ouseley, the string parts had gone missing. At some point then, between the string parts being extant in Paris in the late 17th century to the sale in the 20th or the late 19th, the missing string parts, they were missed, they disappeared. So impossible to perform without them. So the challenge was, I'm not the first person to complete incomplete music, as it were, music which has been somehow lost in parts. Anyway, I completed the string parts for these motets, these three motets. So we can now hear them for the first time in a style which certainly approaches Couperin's. We don't know, of course, we can never know exactly what Couperin would have done, but we can be reasonably certain that he might have done something like that. But maybe before we dive into that, it's nice to hear an example of a little motet, Petit Motet, Lauda Zion, which is just scored for two treble voices. So it has a sort of chorus, which is reprised, and then a couple of solo sections in the middle in the major and minor keys. And this is a lovely example of Couperin's easeful melodic writing, very approachable music. You know, sometimes I think the French music is a little recherché. This is this is beautifully approachable and nicely sung by these children. This is trebles singing this music, so not adults, but they show every bit the same sensitivity and style awareness that an adult would.
Well, let's let our listeners give a first listen to Laudation Salvatorem.
Oh,
What you just heard was from a disc of Couperin motets sung by the soloists of New College, Oxford, and the Collegium Novum, conducted by Edward Higginbottom. So we're back with Professor Higginbottom. So where do we go next after listening to that, do you think?
Well, we could go to one of these motets that I've completed, the final one on the recording, Exultant Superi, which is a motet for a feast of a saint. So here we hear the three very characteristic vocal types of the French tradition. Those we're very familiar with, of course, two of them, the soprano and the bass voice. But the one we're not so familiar with is the haute cante, which is the high tenor. The alto voice really didn't exist at this time in France. But what you had was a tenor who had a range from tenor C, which is the C in the middle of the bass clef, up to B flat, and maybe, you know, nearly up two octaves higher, or maybe up to C, that's a two octave range. And it's a sort of rather heroic voice, certainly with this good extension into the upper range. So not a falsettist at all, but a tenor with access to the high, you know, six notes in that range I've been describing. Of course, I should confess that one of the ways that one is helped in this regard is by having a pitch standard that's a bit lower than modern pitch standard. So a French pitch standard was certainly a semitone, if not a tone lower, and we've used the tone lower. We use the operatic pitch standard of 392, which gives a sort of easefulness to this music. It is lower than it looks. But these voices, of course, exclude the sort of tenor that we might be acquainted with. That was a sort of baritone called a basse-taille, if not a taille, from time to time. And that voice was the sort of ordinary voice with quite a restricted range. I sometimes think of it as the choir master's voice, the sort of, you know, the one that's not terribly cultivated or wide in range. So Couperin, when writing this music for solo voices, didn't write for that rather unenterprising voice. He wrote for the three voices that could be depended upon to do lovely sort of effects and good range, good colour. Those are the voices he wrote for. When you write, of course, a piece like this, you're wanting ensemble moments when those three voices come together, and you're wanting separate moments where you hear each individually. You're wanting a sort of progression of incidents that give you variety, and the strings themselves act in the same way. They provide mostly interludes and from time to time join in with the solo voices, but as part of a sort of ongoing progression. You're not really aware that there are movements in this. It's just sort of a continuous stream of music with changes of meter from time to time, but really staying within the same perspective and certainly with the same vocal elements. So this is a longer one, it's about 8 minutes, this exultant, but shows you this very particular haute cante voice. But also, I think what will be appreciated by your listeners reveals the skill of Jonty Ward, one of our sopranos at the time, who was a 12-year-old, manages to sing this not only with great technical expertise, but with great style. You'll hear that all the vocalists use French pronunciation of their Latin. You'll hear them singing like they were French, as it were. So it's not Deus, but Deus. That would be an example.
Yeah.
And so chapeau, hats off to Jonty, who manages to do all that and stay cool under pressure in the recording studio.
One last question for me. I have never seen the term, it's on several of these pieces, et symphonie. What is that?
That simply means with instruments.
That's a term that I'm not...
So at the beginning of a piece like this, it says, it's a symphonie, and that means here they play. So that's where you know, obviously, because the violin parts are missing, and that's where you know you have to put them in. So when you hear any violin parts here, they in fact are not by Couperin, but by a more recent composer.
So let's let our listeners listen to Exultant Superi. ¶¶ That was a performance of Exultant Superi, actually the title of the CD on Novum, conducted by Edward Higginbottom, College of College Oxford, and the Collegium Novum. What about, we're thinking out loud for those of you in the audience. Next on this disc, what should we play so that they get a really firm kind of taste of Couperin? Because we've now done two tracks. Dare we do the first track that's long?
Well, we could do, or we could turn to one of these elevation motets. The elevation in the Mass was this high point, literally, where the host is elevated by the priest at the prayer of consecration, and where the music designed for that moment has to be extremely tender and expressive and tell of the mystery of the consecration and the mystery of this transfer of elements from the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. This is what the Elevation Motet is about. So this one here that we have, number 6 on the listing, O Mysterium Ineffabile, is an Elevation Motet. O Ineffable Mystery, mystery which we can't explain, is a possible translation of that Latin. And this scoring is for just two voices here. And it is of a very refined and delicate, but also very sort of persuasive, melting, sort of expressive type. And I think it's another side of Couperin. The French really did enjoy creating moods in their music, and they did this to excellent levels in their opera. You know, you would know for sure when you were in some sort of grand ceremonial situation, or you'd know for sure if you're in one of those things they called a sommeil, where things go to sleep and some mysterious dream landscape is created. So here, a little bit like a dream landscape, we have this sort of gentle, affecting, enhanced by the lines and harmonies, evocation of the mystery of the consecration. So, another and very special side of Couperin's style.
Okay, so here is O Mysterium Ineffable. What's the pronunciation French-wise?
O Mysterium, I think they would do. I think they would do in, because that's Ineffabile.
Ineffabile.
Yeah, so that's quite close. If we took another one here, there's no tantum, yes. Tantum ego sacramentum. Sacramentum. Rather than sacramentum.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's just sort of vernacular pronunciation of the French, as if, you know, they weren't trying to be Italian. Now, whenever we sing Latin, we sing it with an Italian pronunciation. So there's no ch in this pronunciation like there is in Italian.
Well, we'll let our listeners listen to that track, and we'll fill in the rest of our program with other motets from this recording. Again, to the listeners, please look at this Novum recording done by Edward Higginbottom. I think I saw in 2011.
That's right, 2011, yep.
And it's Couperin Motets with the New College Choir at Oxford. You can go to their website also, newcollegeachoir.com, one word, to find out about this and other recordings. And as always, my friend, it's great to talk with you.
Well, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Time.
That was a motet, O Mysterium Ineffabili, sung by the soloists of New College, Oxford, conducted by Edward Higginbottom. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Professor Higginbottom and his recordings of the choral music of Couperin on the Novum label, sung by soloists from the New College Choir, Oxford. Let's now hear a little bit more from the CD, the opening track on this particular CD, the resonant Organa Atri et Symphonies by Francis Couperin.
Thank you.
That was the motet Resonant Organa a Triet Symphonies, the first of 9 tracks by Francis Couperin on the CD we are featuring on today's program titled Exultent Superi on the Novum label, available at newcollegechoir.com, and a CD that features the soloists of New College Choir Oxford, the Collegium Novum, led by my guest today on Sounds Choral, Edward Higginbottom. Sounds Choral is produced at the studios of WWFM, the Classical Network. David Osenberg, producer. I'm your host, James Jordan, from Westminster Choir College. You can listen to any recent Sounds Choral program by going to our website, wwfm.org, and clicking on Classical and Webcasts. You can also support programming like this with a donation in membership at our website. Thanks so much for listening. Sounds Choral is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org.